Hello, hello. This is the Sleon Productions podcast where we interview influencers, business owners, people that have gone through the strides and want to share their value. We also interview book authors as well. Today we're going a bit local, which we interview typically local here and there, but I really get excited when I interview more like local here in like the South Florida area from Miami to West Palm Beach. And we got a personality that I met a couple of months ago at WordCamp Miami, which is a WordPress conference. And obviously, we talk about like the WordPress, platform, what could be used. A couple of the sessions is marketing. And we got a local person this year at our WordCamp conference, Carlos Vasquez, known as the Miami Marketer. And his biography says he has been getting paid to leverage technology to connect brands with humans since 2003. It all started with a prank call to Fidel Castro, and from that point has the advantage of building campaigns for some major companies like the Miami Marketer. Miami Marketer, Carlos Vasquez, welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast.
What is up, my brother? Aggie in Miami, hanging out the best way we can.
Like I said, we first met at the WordCamp conference back in early March before the pandemic. You're full of energy. Can you tell us your experience from that conference?
Brother. All right. So the only reason that it appears that I was full of energy was because it was pure nervousness. I don't even know that's a word. But every time I'm standing in front of a crowd sharing anything that I'm passionate about, I get excited. My nerves are like taking over, and I get to, and then when I see the response of everybody feeling like they're getting so much value, it just kind of pushes me like to this high. Like I feel like this natural high because of it. In my experience, this was actually this year was my second year doing WordCamp, and it's always been like so impactful in making me feel like I'm on the right track. It makes me feel like I'm really helping people. And when people are like coming to me, I remember after my session, I had people follow me to the break room so I can kind of just, they just kept on picking my brain. Also to talk about the guests because there aren't that many people that care about it. And the ones that do care about it, it's hard to find them. So when WordCamp comes to Miami, it kind of puts us all together so we can kind of just share the goods and just geek out, man. And that's been pretty much my experience both times.
Tell us a little bit about your journey.
All right. So, man, where do I begin? Okay, so I'm going to try to fast forward as much as possible because my journey has been long and full of adventure. It involves BBSs. It involves the Marine Corps. And it involves prank calling Fidel Castro. So I'm going to try to go through all of them as fast as possible. So, my whole computer, my love for computers really started like in the early 90s, where my dad had a Packard Bell with a super VGA monitor. And that basically meant that the graphics looked like comic book graphics or like somebody drawing realistic paintings with crayons or whatever. It looks pretty good for the time. And then I saw him playing games and I told him, hey dad, I want to go ahead and play. I want to play games because I had a Sega Master System. So, you know, when you're a young kid, you always want to play games. So then he said, sure, I'll let you play games, but here's how you're going to have to learn how to play the games. And he gave me this book on DOS. He got me a computer, an EGA monitor. It had like 16 colors or whatever. And then he said, if you want to play games, you have to read this book, because this book is going to tell you how to find the game, how to start the game, and how to play the game. And it was a book on DOS, and I was like bummed out because I didn't want to have to read a book to play a game, but because I really wanted to play and I knew that these games weren't on the like a Nintendo or the Sega, I was incentivized to really dive in. And long and behold, I got motivated, I got inspired, and then he created a monster because it went from starting to play games to creating like Windows like management system. This was before like Windows became really popular. Like you can actually create like menus and all this cool stuff. Fast forward to like 1997, I learned how to make websites by using Microsoft Front Page. And I would right click a website, view source, paste it in Microsoft Front Page, and then learn how to make sites like that. fast forward to 1999, I joined the Marine Corps. Fun fact, I was rejected by the Marine Corps as a computer guy because I didn't pass the ASVAB test. I didn't get enough of a score to become a computer person in the Marine Corps. And another fun fact, in Miami-Dade County Public Schools, they marked me as computer illiterate, meaning that I didn't know how to use computers according to Miami-Dade County schools. Anyways, I digress. So now I went into the Marine Corps. I went to the Marine as a ammunition technician. That's somebody that's responsible for keeping track of all the ammunition that we send out to war, delivering ammunition to the front lines, and making sure that we have enough bullets to defend ourselves, and making sure that when we store the ammunition, like grenades, the missiles, they're not stored in a way where they can blow up. So a lot of fun stuff when it came to ammunition. But then when the master gunnery sergeant got a whiff that I was good at computers, he went ahead and said, you know what? I heard you know how to use a computer. Why don't you help us set up a network? And I took it a challenge and I set it up. He was impressed, and they ended up giving me a secondary job in the Marine Corps. And I became the computer guy for the entire battalion. Now, fast forward to like the year 2003, I finished my first tour in the Marine Corps, and I got a whiff that could be a recruiter for the Marine Corps. So as I was trying to become a recruiter, I volunteered to do the morning show website at El Sol 95. They didn't have a web guy, and websites really weren't that popular. I mean, they were popular enough to know that everyone should have one, but it wasn't what they are now. And I volunteered to do the website in exchange. I'd do it for free. In exchange, I'd get access to like concerts, clubs, hang out with celebrities, and all that jazz. So one of the first things that I ended up doing was create the website, and we were known for prank calling a bunch of people. And one of those prank calls turned out to be a prank call to Fidel Castro. So with this prank call, I ended up creating my first funnel where if you wanted to hear the call, you had to put your name and email address into the website, and the website will capture your email address and then give you a link so you can hear the actual call. At the time, we were using like Real Player Audio. And then from there, because of this little funnel, I ended up building an email list of over 250,000 email addresses. And that's it. My whole digital marketing career really started taking off at that point because the radio station saw this as a huge opportunity to monetize it. They needed someone to manage the emails, manage a bunch of the digital geek stuff. And I was just there. I already proved my experience that I was able to do it. So this led me to have experience with Coca-Cola, Universal, Disney, all these other major companies that had the deep pockets for the software. And since I already had like this experience with all the software, in 2015, when the software became more affordable to level the playing field for small businesses, I was one of the first people that already had a good way to use all the software. And then that's it. My business really grew from that point on because I was able to apply a lot of the strategies I've already learned from the different years working with the other companies and apply it to small businesses. And now what I primarily do is I set these systems up for businesses, small businesses, small to medium enterprises. They rely on me to train their staff. And now I primarily focus on creating virtual events and using all my digital marketing experience to promote the events, find people, and kind of help people build meaningful connections. And that's it, man. That's my story.
Now, obviously, Google AdSense recommends, obviously, like the top three things is like articles or tools out there that will get traffic. But for the blog articles, can you tell the audience what are the key components to make a good article and to be captured by Google and to get traffic to your website?
Yeah, so generally speaking, so this goes deeper into like, you know, search engine optimization and keyword research. But generally speaking, me, I'm a really big fan of creating content that answers the user queries. So I'll just use a generic example. Let's say that you have a website about gyms, you know, like gym owners or something like your gym specifically. Let's talk about gyms and exercise. Let's just say fitness. Let's make it more broad, fitness. So what I would do if you had a fitness blog is I would do something along the lines of just questions that people are going to have in fitness, right? So I always like think of like who, what, when, where, why, how. So like a good example right now would be what are exercise or weightless exercises, you know, like creating content around finding what those keywords are that people are actually searching in Google. And this is where keyword tools come in, finding what those keywords are. And then after you figure out what those keywords are, writing content, answering those questions. I think that's a really good way to start out when you're in the beginning, because just answering questions, I mean, if you have some sort of expertise, you can do that. And those are always the, everyone talks about like the long tail keywords, right? The long tail keyword phrases. Those are always long tails. You know, they'll be like 4, 5, 6 words in a phrase. So it's just the idea of creating content around that. And, you know, in the beginning, I mean, realistically, and people don't like to hear this, but realistically, your first like 6 months of your blog or website, it's pretty thankless. You're not going to get a ton of, you know, momentum going. There's not going to be a bunch of growth just because Google really slows down websites and blogs in the beginning. So really, I just, yeah, when I start a website or a blog now, I don't really write the content. I hire it out and I have our team of writers to help me. But generally what I'll do is I will answer those questions, those long tail things. And you kind of just, you know, you look at 20, 30, 40 of those different articles, you create them. And over time, you'll just start getting traffic from Google.
Those are great tidbits. I'm a techie person and I troubleshoot a lot of stuff with clients. And it's interesting because like the past 3 months, I've been writing articles because of that troubleshooting question. For example, I had one client that didn't know how to connect a Canon EOS camera to a Windows device. Google did. There was not many articles on it.
Yep.
But then I figured it out. And I wrote the article, and now it's ranked in like the top 10 via my website. So yeah. I've been doing That's perfect. You've been doing. Just yep. type out the article. If you can't find it on Google, you figure it out. Write an article.
Yeah. It really is. That's. I mean, I feel like people overthink it pretty often, and you have a leg up there because if you're working with people or you're in a, let's say you're in an industry. Because people are, you know, when they're starting out, they're like, I don't know what to write about. I don't know what to do. If you're in an industry and, you know, you have some expertise that most people don't, if you're in sales or marketing of any sort, you know a lot of the questions already, right? Like those questions come by your desk every single day. Or even if you're in a trade, you know, there's a lot of questions that people have. So just think what those are, write them down. And then, like I said, what I'll do is I'll go into Google. I'll search that particular thing that I'm trying to write about. I'll look at what's out there, and not that I'm copying, you should never copy, but I'm just trying to find out what's out there and what Google likes. And then I look at it. And then if I'm looking at it, I'm like, I could do better than this. Then you just create something better. And usually when it comes to writing, I always say like create an outline and not like a formal, like difficult to put together outline, like take like 3 minutes or 5 minutes and just write like, okay, here's the first topic that I'm going to cover, the second one, the third, and maybe the fourth. And then just, you know, just write. I just put the article together, but yeah, that's a perfect example. You know, for you, you know, it was like a how-to and it sounds like it worked, but that's a really good example of exactly how this works. And people just overthink it. Just don't overthink it. Just start.
Yeah. This tool, I mean, I have to be very honest is probably revolutionary. I mean, in my opinion, and what you were saying about like speaker ID guys, they identify the speaker one, speaker two, and then you're able to put like the name to it. And then it remembers next time that speaker comes up in your recording, it remembers, yes, it's Michael or it's Sam, things like that. So it's so accurate, pinpoint. You also been doing some live events, and this is the stuff that I really think that I think will be used as well. How has it been used with events, and what has been like the feedback from it?
Yeah, so it started out about 2 years ago. We were partnering with TechCrunch, Disrupt, and Web Summit. Those are the two, you know, big ones that most people recognize, these big tech events. We've been doing live events, and back then, before the pandemic, there's these in-person events where they have 2 tracks, 15 tracks, 16 tracks, all these live sessions that it's impossible for all the attendees to attend every single session. So both in terms of providing accessibility to these live event organizers, but also to enable the event attendees to catch up on sessions that they can't possibly attend while they were there, Otter becomes very, very valuable because they can go back. They can even access it on their mobile app. So we even integrate it to the event application as well. So the attendees have choices. They can download the Otter app and subscribe to the TechCrunch or Web Summit public group, and then be able to tune into both the live transcription as well as to go back to say, hey, at the end of the day, which sessions I missed, you can go back. And the feedback has been great, both from the conference event organizer and from the attendees. There was another conference, a smaller conference that was mostly, I would say it's a Silicon Valley Asian technology startup conference. So most of the attendees are English as a second language, and they came to our booth and told us, wow, Otter team, amazing job. You guys are helping me understand the sessions way better. So this is providing me tremendous value right off the bat, right now. You don't even need to sell me. Like, I am using your app even at the conference. You don't need to convince me. I just want to use Otter, and I want to bring Otter technology to the company, that when I go back, I want the company to be able to use this technology. So yeah, so that's really, really powerful.
Which you could use Zoom events. It is offered with Otter, with Otter Teams, right?
Yes. So now with virtual events, Otter Live Notes is offered as part of the Otter for Teams plan. So it's at the level that's targeted for both businesses, nonprofits, and educational institution. So it's directly integrated with Zoom. So it supports both Zoom meetings and Zoom webinars. And we actually also have the capability to receive a live streamed audio through RTMP. So if you just contact us, and if you are a virtual event organizer that can live stream your audio through RTMP stream, then Otter would be able to provide live transcription for you.
Oh, so you'll have to contact Otter for that service.
For that third one that I mentioned, yes.
Oh, okay, so yeah, for
Zoom meeting and Zoom webinar is bundled as part of Otter for Teams plan. For RTMP, I just want to give you some additional options for your listeners to consider. We can also support that.
Tell us your partnership with Zoom. I know that you guys signed, I think, over a year ago. Tell us, how's it been so far?
So it's been a few years ago. Otter is the official transcription provider to power the transcription capability within Zoom as well. So that was the initial partnership. And then furthermore, Otter also built additional integrations to so that would enable Otter users and Zoom Pro or higher subscribers to be able to get live transcription as well, for as we mentioned, for the Otter for Teams and Otter Premium and Otter Basic plan. At different levels, we have different levels of integration. So the partnership has been great. For the Zoom customers who subscribe to Zoom Business or higher, they can get that built in as part of Zoom. But for the lower plan, like a Zoom Pro, when they cannot afford the Zoom Business plan, then they can come to Otter and be able to have a very cost-effective way to do both post-meeting transcription and live transcription.
Has there been talks of maybe adding like the captions in the video itself?
Coming soon. Stay tuned.
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, good. Besides Amazon, what other affiliate programs have you seen out there that are like legit? I know that Amazon has like the best friction. Like, everyone has an Amazon account and they can order from phone for like, you know, two clicks. But what other ones have you seen that, okay, they're legit, they have good payouts, and they're kind of popular?
So I would go to some of the bigger affiliate marketplaces. So ShareASale, Commission Junction, you'll hear people call that CJ, CJ.com, and Impact Radius is another big one. And I would check those out. And what you'll find is just dozens and hundreds of retailers that work with those specific platforms. And it varies, you know, depending on the product and the company and all that. the cookie period. You know, sometimes you get a 60-day cookie or a 30-day or 7-day, whatever it may be for that company. And usually it'll be a higher commission rate than what you would get over on Amazon. And, you know, for the, all of those are legit. Those are, you know, big, huge companies, and you're able to find specific retailers in your specific niche that can work with you.
Traffic. What are the best practices to bring people traffic to your site and obviously click on that affiliate product?
So I get most of my traffic, like 90%, from Google. So Google organic search. And I actually spend a lot of time on keyword research and finding keywords where people are likely to make a purchase. So usually someone is doing some research. I was recently upgrading my camera gear. So I'm a bit of a like a tech camera geek, and I like all the gear, and I spend a lot of time on YouTube, and I love all this stuff. So I was doing research for like full frame DSLR or mirrorless cameras. So I actually ended up going the mirrorless route. But when I was searching for it, I was Googling terms like best mirrorless Canon camera. And I was literally doing research trying to figure out, you know, the specs, like, are there any new cameras out there? And that really indicates like buyer intent. And that's what you're looking for, right? From the affiliate standpoint. Now, the other side of the coin is informational topics. And it's important to have, in my opinion, those informational topics. And a lot of times you could find, you know, really obscure long tail keywords where maybe someone is Googling how to process raw images from a mirrorless camera, right? So long phrase, and then to tie it back into, you know, the software that I was talking about. So if someone's Googling how to process raw images, you can go through the step-by-step process. And along the way, turns out you need software to process a raw image. Some of it's free, right? You can get free software to do that sort of stuff. But the best software that is easiest to use is paid. So even with your informational content, you're able to recommend products in a helpful way that helps the visitor do things better or faster or cheaper, whatever it is. So those are the two areas, and you just have to think about, you know, what products you want to push, and then look up keywords around there. And then there's almost always how-to content, informational content for the given products or the given niche.
Which is something that Ron Stefanski talked about a few weeks ago about, just writing how-to articles, pretty much what are people typing. Now, what keyword tool do you usually use? I know that the Google search is a pretty much a good one itself, but do you recommend others, or you would just stick with the Google search?
So I'll tell you some of my favorites, but I always preface it with, you know, just pick a tool and stick with that one. You'll learn how to use it better. You won't have to learn new things all the time. And if you start using different tools, you'll see different data coming out, different metrics coming out, which can be confusing. So just pick one and stick with it. For keyword research, I personally like KW Finder the best right now, and have for the last couple of years. They do a very good job from a usability standpoint. And there's a platform of, you know, other products, but they excel in the keyword area. Some of the other favorites are SEMrush and Ahrefs. Those are more full suite of, you know, search engine marketing tools versus, you know, just the keyword research. And I think they're both useful for keyword research, but kind of in a different way. So as you're layering on your skills and you need to do different kind of keyword research, I think SEMrush and Ahrefs give you a really just a different way to look at the advanced keyword research where you're doing competitor analysis, and they are more expensive since they're more like professional tools.
Fernando, what is the best way to reach you online?
I use my network so very much, so because I have a good sense of playing along with the people that say that, you know, that they admire me and they like me, and the people that, you know, they criticize, I also get engaged and have fun, you know, and I think that, you know, that's the whole thing about, you know, is they can reach me in my Twitter at Fernando Fiore. My Instagram is Fiore Oficial with only one C. And eventually I use also Facebook with Fernando Fiore Oficial. But I do a lot of campaigns. I was, you know, during this pandemic, I was lucky enough also to get an offer to do TV, you know, to streaming for Central America. So I was doing with Tigo Sports. We were working doing we did a nice show that we just finished this weekend. We finished the first season. 20 shows for Honduras and El Salvador. It's called Palabra de Presidente. I did a lot of streaming and chats and Zoom and interviews with a lot of my friends, Jorge Campos, Emperador Suarez, Cristian Vieri, Giovanni Savarese, Pedro Troglio, Marcelo Balboa, Mariano Trujillo, Lele Adani, Reinaldo Rueda. O sea, It was a great season. I have 20 interviews that they were really nice because I have a lot of friends that I haven't seen in a long time, Carlos Pavón, and I'm also doing a lot of radio. I have also capsules in Spanish called Palabra de Presidente that they are syndicated in GLR Network and in Sirius XM. So, you know, it's a lot of work doing And I'm doing the broadcast for the Inter Miami, the MLS.
That's news to me. I didn't know that. That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah. We were the idea originally was that I was going to be doing something with the fans at the beginning of the season, but unfortunately the season was without fans. So they switched me around and I'm doing the world feed and I'm doing the pregame, postgame. We have a new radio called Onside Radio. It's, you know, satellite. It's an internet onside radio. And that's what they have. It's a sports radio now. It's a sports talk show during the week that I'm not involved in that. But then we do the broadcast of the games.
Well, I will have to check it out. Before we go, will Argentina win the World Cup in your lifetime?
You already did. Twice.
Oh, my bad. No, I mean, once again.
once again. it did in 78 and 86. So, I'm served. I can ask for more. I would love to have one more with Messi. But it's more and more difficult every time. I will be content first if we can get a Copa America, which we didn't have since 1993, and we lost quite a few finals. So yeah, I'm hoping, but I don't hold my breath.
Interesting perspective. You're right. Like, you're content with, you know, with having one or two already, but having one more, it's okay if not, but Copa America would be a extra cherry on top.
Yeah, so. I saw when we won the last one, 1993 in Ecuador, that was a long time ago, man.
Batistuta.
Yeah, Batistuta. That's right.
That's a classic.
That was against Mexico in 1993, but Simeone, Zanetti, but that was back in the previous century. So I would love to have one now.
Exactly. Anyways, Fernando, you've been an amazing guest, a huge hero of mine, pleasure. And I appreciate you coming on to the podcast.
No, it's all my pleasure. Thank you very much. I'm so glad that you were watching this since you were a kid. Say hello to your family. God bless you and stay safe and healthy. And it was a pleasure talking to you.
God bless you too.